Grace to you and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 25th of January. I'm Paul White. Let me give you a little preview, or maybe not a preview, but a heads up to what will be airing at paulwhiteministries.com and at PWM on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. The audio version of our weekly sermon will post tomorrow. We do this every Sunday. Our sermon this week is from the Sunday morning of a conference I did in Minneapolis, Minnesota at the One Life Church with Pastor Peter Swart. I aired for you the first of two sermons from that a couple of weeks ago. Then we broke in with an audio sermon from Texas last week. This week we go back to the Minnesota meeting. Next week we'll go back to the Texas meeting. I'm flip-flopping so that I don't put all audio week after week after week. I know we have a lot of people like the video. So, video and audio tomorrow from One Life Church. And the title of the message is One Flesh. It's a little, maybe a little confusing on my part. The church is One Life Church. The sermon is One Flesh. I take the phrase One Flesh from the Genesis account, where God, having created everything, creates man. Male and female, he creates them. Then Genesis 2, God breaks that down, begins to show the intricacies of that creation and the not good part of it, because there's the first time God uses not good in relation to man, and that is that man is alone, and out of man's side he pulls woman and then marries them. It's an interesting thing. I mean, he takes one man and makes two people and then brings them together as one flesh. I don't know that we've thought enough about it, or at least I say we, maybe I should mean me. What does that mean? You already had one flesh, just one guy. Then you pull two people and then call them one flesh. And the Bible doesn't do much with it until you get to the New Testament. Jesus, of course, quotes it in regards to marriage. Paul takes it in Ephesians and says, it's been a mystery, but here's what God meant. That entire sermon is to walk you from the creation to the fulfillment of that mystery. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's called One Flesh. It's about an hour long, and it covers a lot of ground. So get ready for the journey. I think it'll be a good one for you. I'm in Augusta, Georgia tonight. We are in Flowery Branch, Georgia tomorrow evening. Back-to-back evenings in Georgia. If you're in East Georgia or South Carolina, come see us tonight. If you're in North Georgia or if wherever and you just want to make a long drive, come be with us tomorrow at 5. Tonight's at 7 Eastern, tomorrow night at 5 Eastern. Two different locations. You can find the, if you are wanting to come out, you can find the details at paulwhiteministries.com. Okay, yesterday was Long Form Friday. It was our first three segments of the Finish Work Eschatology vlogs. We put the first three vlogs audio only together, made one big podcast. Go check that out if you missed it. Next week will be Essay Edition, then we'll get back to those Long Form Fridays, doing that on through, and it'll take us quite a while because we had a lot of those. I've been getting good feedback on this 1 Corinthians 15 stuff. We've had some good compliments at the pace we've went. Some good compliments on the fact that we are navigating the waters. I'm not just plowing through. We're taking our time. And it's not just about taking time so we don't miss things. It's taking time so that we step properly. If you're going down a path and it's icy or it's not sure, it's best to probably not sprint. That probably will cause you some issues. You'll miss a lot of things or you'll end up sliding into some problems. And so I'm trying to avoid that. And it's not easy because these are tough waters to navigate in that most of us come to 1 Corinthians 15 with an idea. And the basic idea is here's what Paul means. Knowing what Paul means raises as many questions as it answers. Quote unquote, knowing what Paul means, because I'm not sure we know. Then when we start to present, and which is what I've tried to do, some alternate ways of thinking about it. I'm not trying to land on and say, this is it, everything else is wrong. But some alternate ways of thinking about it without stretching beyond the scriptures and without getting hokey. You know, people come up with a lot of theories, and a lot of times there's no real basis for it. It's just here, this sounds unusual. I've not been a fan of that, and I don't condemn people for that journey, but it's not my style. I like to try to find a reason that things exist in the scripture. It's not always easy to do, and I like to try to dig them out and mine them out in a way that makes them applicable to the audience of that day, but also to us, because they've survived. The fact that they've survived, and by they I mean the scriptures, says something pretty powerful, that there are truths there that we should be paying attention to. I'm not going to rehash. We've been in this a long time. I'm honestly ready to move on. And so I want to give you the last few phrases of 15 today so that we can get into what is technically a sort of a final exhortation, a greeting and a farewell at 1 Corinthians 16, which will take us just a few days to work our way through. Verse 54 of 1 Corinthians 15, when this corruptible has put on incorruption and the mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. That's a saying from Isaiah 25:8. Let's go back there, because that's how, to me, that's the way to study properly. That's how you want to take a look at the scriptures, because that's what they were looking up. Let's give a couple of verses in just leading in. Verse 6, Isaiah 25:6. In this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice pieces, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees, and he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations, and he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. What is this talking about? If I were to say to you, let's just ignore 1 Corinthians 15 for a second. If I were to say to you, according to the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 12, you have not come to a mountain that can be touched and burned with fire, Sinai. You have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God. Most of you New Covenant believers would go, yes, he's right, we have. We've left one mountain and we've come to another mountain. Isaiah 25:6. In this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people. This is a futuristic landing spot from Isaiah 25. God's going to make a mountain for all people. A feast of choice pieces and wines on the lees, fat things full of marrow, well-refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all the people and the veil that is spread over all nations. You would take that, when you couple that with Hebrews 12, I think you would take that to mean, in an eschatological sense, God's going to put us on a mountain, feed us well, and from that mountain it will destroy the veil. And you know that in 2 Corinthians 3, Paul says the veil is Moses, which exists on people's hearts. You have a new mountain that God sets you on, and on that mountain he destroys the veil that is over people's eyes. If I took you to the next verse, Isaiah 25:8, he will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he'll take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. If I were to say to you that on that mountain Zion, God will destroy the veil that is over people's eyes, and in that he swallows up death forever, you might be able to infer that at Mount Zion, God removes the veil that's been over the heart of people as they read Moses, and he swallows up the death attached to Moses and wipes the tears from your eyes, attached to the breaking of the law. Paul quotes Isaiah 25:8 in 1 Corinthians 15:54. Death swallowed up in victory. At least it's as close as we can get. Is it possible that what Paul is talking about is not the end of physical death, but the victory of us being placed on a new mountain that swallows up the death attached to the law and the veil attached to reading Moses? He follows it with verse 55. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Hades is the abode of the dead, according to the Jews. That would sound a little bit like this. Let me read to you from what could be a source text for this. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from your eyes. I'll leave it to you to read whatever surrounding context you can find as you look at the... Because Hosea 13 is relentless judgment on Israel. Where do you think that happened? All right, we're going to continue from right here tomorrow with that same thought. See you then. God bless.